Okay. I was really hoping this wasn't one of the other GMs in one of our other dealerships.
All right. I think we're going to go ahead. We're going to start recording, or we are, have started recording. So, during this part, you'll probably have to edit. Good morning. And welcome to the Mode of Vitality MV Pro Call. Today is Thursday, July 9th, and this week Kelly is on somewhat of a vacation. He took a little bit of personal time off, but the conversation we were just having prior to recording is, you know, it's tax time, and normally this is in April that we're doing this, but thank goodness taxes were extended, but yet we're still scrambling last minute. You know, which is typical. That's, we work well under pressure. And so this is what we are doing. But anyways, so I want to welcome everybody that's on the call, especially if this is your first time jumping on the call. Welcome. And if you are listening to this via recording, we welcome you also. We like to open up at the beginning of every session with, is there anything that you learned over the course of the last week or even over the course of the last few weeks that you wanted to share or you have questions about, or is there anything that we can help you out with? Anybody? Anybody? All right. So. That was easy. I do have a couple of things. One of the things, yesterday I got a kind of a frantic phone call that my niece was, she works at a car wash, and she's a manager at the car wash. One of the guys wasn't feeling well, and so she took over for him. And at this car wash, they do what's called an express car wash, where they simply just, the car goes through the car wash, they dry it off, and people go on their way. And then they also have the, where they go, the person kind of drops their car off, it goes through on a conveyor, and at the end, there's a crew that cleans the inside. They don't detail it, but they clean the inside. But of course, with that, they have to make sure that they're using all the proper measures, they're wearing their masks, they're wearing gloves, they're, you know, taking all of the proper COVID measures. Well, one of the guys said he wasn't feeling good because they have to wear their mask. And she took over for him, and about half an hour later started passing out, was vomiting. And they, of course, took her to the hospital, and it was heat exhaustion. And they ended up, they've had three people in the last couple of weeks that they've had to take because of heat exhaustion. So this is my public service announcement. Make sure you stay hydrated. And, you know, it's kind of, it's ironic that we have to say this when we're in the water industry, but yet sometimes we are, you know, going and we're just busy and we don't think about filling up our water jug or grabbing a bottle of water or something. And especially if we're out there and we're canvassing or prospecting, and we have to wear our masks, and that's sometimes a challenge in its own. Just make sure you're staying hydrated, keep yourself cool, so on and so forth. Anybody else have any good ideas on how to stay hydrated besides carrying around a water?
So I always fill up one of the stainless steel thermal bottles.
Mm-hmm.
With ice and water, because that way it stays cold in the car all day.
Right.
Otherwise,
yeah.
You know, we all know that we don't really want the plastic getting heated up and leaching in. So I've got a couple of the Contigo stainless steel bottles, and they do a great job. It's like keeping it cold for me all day, sitting in a hot car.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I love my Yeti. You know, and on that note, that's something that I have acquired over the years. A lot of, whether it's the Yeti or what's the other one? Drawing a blank. I'm staring at my Yeti right now. But there's a couple of them that are really good that are the insulated stainless steel.
Uh-huh.
And that's a wonderful giveaway. If companies can find an inexpensive supplier. Excellent giveaway when you sell reverse osmosis. You know, the plastic ones, those don't stay as cold. They're not usually as insulated. And that's kind of the most common is, you know, a little plastic tumbler or something like that. But the when you have the Yetis or the ones that are really good at the stainless steel, keeping things cold, those are awesome. So just a little tidbit, you know, hey, if you purchase a reverse osmosis, we'll give you one or two of these things here. So, all right. Anything else? Any other questions? I do have a topic today that I thought kind of came up with it last minute, but then I thought, dang, this might be a good topic for especially those that are newer. Well, I guess somebody didn't want to hear my new topic. But anyway, so I was sitting here and I was thinking about, and this does kind of, you know, talking about getting the Yetis, you know, that have the company logo on them and stuff is different things we can talk about, whether they're products or they're appliances, things we can talk about in the home that you'll get the best use out of if you have soft water or if you have reverse osmosis water. And, you know, this is part of playing detective. When we go into the home, it's really important that you look around, you know, and we all know the, you know, check to see if they have like 20 cases of bottled water in the garage or, you know, if they have the water cooler there. And, you know, look for the competitor literature, things like that. But there are quite a few other products that come up, whether it's in conversation or whether it's just something we see laying around. One of the most common ones that I've talked about in the past, there's a couple of them, but whenever you hear the term Malibu treatment, this is a term, does anybody on the call know what it is other than, well, even if you've heard it from me, but Malibu treatment. Does anybody know what a Malibu treatment is?
Oh, yes. Used to have them when I was a kid.
Okay. So what's a Malibu treatment, Stacey?
So it'll remove the rust out of your hair. When I was a kid, we ended up digging a new well. And before we went with the brand that I now work for, we'd had an old Sears softener. And the rust it wouldn't keep up with the rust on the new well. And I had a lovely strip of orange right where the shower hit the back of my head. Because I'm blonde, so you understand that. And I would have to get the Malibu treatments to strip out the rust, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that something I talked about in a couple of my different presentations that I do, and I happen to be with a sales team, an existing sales team in Ohio, and I talked about Malibu treatments, and then I went on an estimate with one of the sales team, and one of the first things the lady said, she's like, I need a softener so bad in this house. I'm tired of having to get Malibu treatments. And the gentleman that I was with, he turned to me and literally said, did you tell her to say that? Because we literally were just talking about Malibu treatments. And so, yes, Malibu treatments, what it is when you have hard water or if you have iron in your water, it starts to build up. Most of us have seen the soap flasks where, you know, you have the hard water. It has that soap curd that builds up on, or the scum that builds up on the side of the soap flask. That's what happens to the hair. And so because of that, you need to eventually strip it off, especially if you get your hair colored, they need to strip that off prior to coloring. So that's a term, if you ever hear the term Malibu treatment, that is what that is. Another thing while we're talking about hair is there's a product that I discovered and it's that I've overheard other women talking about it. I decided to try it, and it's called Monet, and it's one of the MLMs. It actually is really good shampoo, but it's very popular right now. And it's also very, very expensive. For just a very small bottle, it's like $42. But what I found is that when you have soft water, you're literally using only like a chickpea size, and that's all you use every day. So this little $42 bottle of shampoo, because it's very concentrated, it lasts me 6 to 7 months. So you figure that in, it's not really that expensive because of it's so concentrated. It's not that expensive if it's lasting, small bottles lasting that long. However, when I'm traveling, like right now, I'm on Long Island, and I'm realizing I have to use a lot more. And even the hardness here on Long Island isn't very much. I think it's only 2 to 3 grains of hardness, but there's chlorine in the water also. And there's a lot of other factors with the shampoo. And, you know, again, going back to the soap demonstration, we know that soft water, taking the chlorine out of the water, all of the above is definitely going to make a difference on how much you're saving on your shampoos, your body soaps, things like this. And these are all things that we know, but it's very helpful when we talk to the homeowner about that and bring that awareness to them, because they totally don't, they usually don't know that. Even if they've had a water softener, they don't know to use less shampoo, less soap, things like that. While talking about, I guess, using less soap, how many of you have seen a dishwasher owner's manual?
Well,
I know the MV Pros. MV
it's
Pros,
been a while
I know you guys.
I've read mine.
So, this is something I think pretty much every person that I have trained we have a dishwasher owner's manual, and it's the Frigidaire. It was one we just happened to grab while we were, I was working with a company over in Maryland, I believe, and we wanted to see how much less soap to use in a dishwasher. And if you're still on the call, I can go ahead and get this over to you. I know that we do have it on motivevitality.com, but maybe we can add this attachment to the description on the recording on the website. But if you look at the Frigidaire dishwasher owner's manual, it says how much detergent to use. The amount of detergent to use depends on the water hardness. Water hardness is measured in grains per gallon. Using too little detergent can result in poor cleaning and hard water filming and spotting. Using too much detergent in soft water can cause a permanent film called etching. And then it says, call your local water softener company, and they can tell you the hardness of your water. And it says right here on your detergent usage guide, soft water, 0 to 3 grains, which is similar to what we have on the chart that we use from the Water Quality Association. You only use 2 teaspoons. If you have medium to hard water, you have 4 to 8 grains of hardness. That means that you're going to use 5 teaspoons. So already you're using 1.5 times more. When you're using what's typical for, like in Michigan, Detroit City water is 7 grains of hardness. It goes on up to very hard water is over 12 grains. You're supposed to fill each side of each cup completely full. A water softener is recommended, is what it says. And then it says for every grain of hardness over 12, you're supposed to unlatch the door and add 1 teaspoon per grain of detergent to your wash. So I don't know about you guys, but I don't have time to stand there and just squirt this stuff all over the place while the dishwasher is running. So, and that's a lot of soap. So just bringing that to their attention when they're, and you don't have to bring it as much as a, hey, you're saving money, almost like it's almost like a sales gimmick, bringing it to their attention that once you have your water softener in, you want to make sure you're not using those pods, because those pods have a chemical softener in there. With those chemical softeners that are in the pods and any dishwashing detergent, if they don't have hardness in the water to cling on to, then what they're trying to cling on to is the hardness of the glasses or any of your dishes. So just tell them, get the cheap stuff and don't use the finish. Well, they have a name brand, but the rinse agent, they don't need to use the rinse agent either. Just cheap dish detergent and use 2 teaspoons. That's all it takes. So people are pretty excited to hear about that. I've got my little list right here. There's another, somebody called me up one day and they said, Jen, what's a Norwex? I'm like, what? They said, what's a Norwex? All right, is there anybody familiar with Norwex products on the call?
I love my Norwex.
I do too. When they first said it, I didn't know what they meant by Norwex, and it clicked. So Norwex is a product. It's a cleaning product. And they are, they have dishwasher, or they, I'm sorry, they have cloths, and one is called an Enviro cloth, and you, I'm not still completely sold on it, other than it cleans really good, but like you can clean up chicken goo and stuff like that, chicken juice on the counter, and it's supposed to take away all the bacteria. They have amazing window cloths, and just you're supposed to be able to clean without using chemicals, water only. But the thing is, they highly recommend that you either have softened water or distilled water to use these things so that they don't leave streaks. If you have hard water or you have iron in your water, then you're going to leave streaks. And not only that, when you're washing them, there's a special technique to wash them every so often, especially if you have hard water, because you're washing them in when you're running through the clothes washer, then you're washing them in hard water, and they do get a little bit of a buildup. So Norwex cloths, if you happen to, gosh, how would you describe them, Stacy? If you have, because I see that, like, I have the ones that are, they're supposed to be like paper towels. I have the ones that, I think I have pretty much everything Norwex.
So I have the basic cleaning cloth, and I have like the window cloth, the glass cloth. So I use them for wiping down things, scrubbing. I love them on like my glass top stove, and
yeah,
especially on all my stainless steel, but you can use them on your TVs, my bathroom mirrors. They, I just wet the main one, the cleaning cloth, and then dry with the glass cloth. So
right,
I'm using no chemicals, straight water. Yes, I am using softened water. I really hadn't thought about using my RO water for it, but that might not be a bad idea.
Right.
I do know that if you accidentally like use dryer sheets with them or something, you have to boil them to get that stuff
yes,
out of them.
Right, right. So they kind of look like a terry cloth. They look similar to a terry cloth, and they usually have a great big tag on them that says Norwex. So, again,
yeah,
it's one of those things that when you're in the home playing detective and you see these on the counter or hanging up, mine hangs up next to the kitchen sink, that's another thing to point out is that, you know, Norwex, they recommend soft water with these. Otherwise, you have to boil them to get all the hardness out of them. You know, every so many months you're supposed to do that. So Norwex is another thing to kind of keep eyes open on. Steam irons. This was something that we were I was taught in home ec class in seventh grade. So that was only like, you know, 10 years ago. I remember Miss Owak telling us that we always had to use distilled, and I remember her saying the word reverse osmosis, and I just thought that was the weirdest word ever because we had just learned about osmosis in biology. And so I remember her very distinctly saying that, and then when I got into the industry, it was just like, oh, that's what Miss Owak was talking about. But, steam irons, the steam mops, same thing. It tells you to use distilled water or reverse osmosis water. And your coffee makers, we all know that using reverse osmosis water not only makes the coffee and the tea so much better, but it doesn't get that buildup. And that's something that most people are a little confused about when it comes to, well, I'm removing all the hardness and I'm removing all the iron out of my water, so that means that my coffee should still, you know, be nice and clear, my tea nice and clear. But you have to remember that the total dissolved solids are still in there. And explaining to them about total dissolved solids, doing the tea demonstration is huge. If there's any demonstration that you do in the home, I feel a tea demonstration is one of the most important to do in the home. And just let them see for themselves that using reverse osmosis water is going to give you a much better quality, whether it's tea or it's coffee. Or I actually, in my lifetime, have sold 2 reverse osmosis systems because their Jack and Coke would taste better because the ice cubes weren't gross. So,
you betcha.
I mean, whatever their fancy is, you can make sure to educate them on it. So,
Jen,
yes.
One of the things I always bring up with people is, especially if they've got kids, do you ever boil pasta? They're like, yeah. I said,
yes.
You know that film you get in the water? And they're like, yeah. I said, that's not the pasta. That's the water.
Right.
And I looked at it, I said, I can boil my pasta with my reverse osmosis water. I can drain it. I can dump it in the bowl. I can take a paper towel and wipe out my pan and stick it back in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I throw it in the dishwasher. And I never really thought about it a whole lot. I've always said that, which is true. But I have this pasta pot that I've had for about 15 years that I absolutely love. And it's starting to show a little wear from utensils in it and stuff, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last year when I was down visiting my sister after my mom passed away, she said, well, you could have mom's. So apparently I bought my mom and my sister these pasta pots too. I don't remember it, but apparently I did. And she said, you can have mom's because it hasn't been used in years. Well, I took it home and my husband looked at it and he said, yours is in better shape. Only ever had RO water in it.
Right.
And hers had regular tap water in it. And her pot had so much buildup and crud on it, and it had very limited use, basically, because she'd lived with my sister for, like, the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So basically half the time she'd had that pot, but mine was in much better shape because it only had RO water.
Awesome. I never even thought it. But now that I'm thinking back on it, my pots and pans are like 15, 20 years old. They've got to be at least 20 years old. Yeah, because I got them when my daughter was little. I'm sorry, when I was 9. tankless water heaters. Breon, are you on the call? That seems to be like, Breon and I were talking the other day about tankless water heaters. He was curious about, you know, what these specifications are on tankless water heaters. And I believe that what we found on those are the, you need 7 grains of hardness or less, or it voids the warranty. And I'm not sure if it was just that particular model we were looking at, but they also specified, or you would need to do a descaler, kind of do something to clean your system every so often. But definitely, you know, using softened water in the softened water in the tankless water heaters. Does anybody have experience with those?
I do not. I've installed a few of those. I don't recall seeing that information, but it wouldn't surprise me because every dishwasher I've ever installed did have that information that you were talking about, regardless of the brand. So, you know, if it's good for one, it's good for all of them. You know, so that's probably there.
Exactly. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Stacey.
I was going to say, my Rheem tankless says it needs to have softened water. Still says probably need to descale it once a year. Here's what I have found is the sediment and total dissolved solids in the water will coat things inside of it, and I still have to have it flushed out every couple of years just to get the sediment out of it.
Okay.
When I have perfectly soft water.
Right. So, think about what happens if you don't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, cause the first time I started tripping an error message, and I called a plumber to that I finally found one that would actually work on them. And he's like, well, you have to flush those things out once a year. And I said, why? He said, well, for hard water. I said, I don't have hard water. And we go back and forth, and I finally said, dude, I sell water softeners for a living. I have a perfectly good working water softener. My water's soft. I can test it. He said, well, at least start there. So they flushed out straight mud.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Water.
Ah.
I have pretty water, but it's a small town, so... And my TDS normally is about 425.
Wow.
And it just builds up in it. So I'm actually getting ready to get my RO filters changed. They're going to put in a couple big blues for me, a sediment and a carbon, because I'm tired of having this thing flushed. It's $250 to have it flushed out each time.
Wow. Yeah.
And so... getting ready to put those in, because it's like, you know, you wouldn't think you would necessarily need those, which I've always planned on putting in a carbon one and just haven't got around to it.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay,
yeah.
It's time to put these in. And because it's amazing in a couple of years how much mud and stuff builds up in there.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, in addition to that, you know, we like to educate the homeowners on their hot water tank, you know, how it's going to save the life of their hot water tank. The precipitation demonstration, that is something that, you know, some people are leery on using it. If it's used properly, I like to use it. If I do, it's to show somebody that, you know, once that water heats up and, you know, you start getting that buildup in there on the bottom of your hot water tank, then it's like taking, you know, a pot of water and either putting it directly on the flame or taking a pot of water and putting it on 1 to 2 inches of brick. Which one's going to heat up faster? And, of course, that brick is going to really start to wear down on that tank, and that's what's going to cause the tank to fail. And, you know, talking to them about that, and one of the questions I like to ask them is, how often do you flush out your hot water tank? And they look at you with this blank stare, and they're like, I've never done it. It's like, okay, once you have your water softener, a properly working water softener in there, you want to make sure, I explain to them how to do it. Some companies offer that as a extra. Most companies I work with don't, only because of the fact that, you know, sometimes that spigot, especially if it's one of the plastic ones, it'll start to leak. So I tell them before they do it, make sure they go to Home Depot or Lowe's and just get one of those caps that you put on, and just in case that the valve doesn't close on there properly. But, you know, just educating them on that is so important. It's those little things that that they like. Does anybody else have any other, we're rounding down to last couple minutes, anybody else have anything else that they wanted to add as far as things that we can look for and we can educate our homeowners on?
The other thing that I have that's sitting on my counter is my SodaStream.
Oh.
Yeah, I only use RO water with it because I figure I'm starting with clean water. Now, it's not going to really affect the thing. It might affect the tip, but... if I'm doing carbonated water, I want good carbonated water.
Exactly, yeah. I've never even thought of that one.
Mhm.
Awesome.
So yeah,
that's something that's really...
a lot just for drinking. It's just a different taste for something different occasionally, let alone you can flavor it. But typically, I don't even flavor it.
Awesome.
I just like the bubbles.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else? Things we look for in the home? Okay. Well, hey, guys, I and gals really appreciate you jumping on. And if you need anything, give us a shout. If we don't talk to you before then, we will talk to you next Thursday. Hopefully everybody has their taxes done by then. And Stacey's going to enjoy her few hours off and get hers finished up. But if there's anything anybody needs, just go ahead and give us a shout.
Thanks.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks.